If you take your Bibles, we'll turn to Nehemiah chapter 3 this evening. Nehemiah chapter 3. I love that last song that we sang as a congregation, Little is Much When God is in It. That third verse, or second or third verse that we sang, talking about, you know, that place that we're called to labor. It might not seem that great, but it is great if God's called us to be there. And that's what the message tonight is about. I'll give you it up front so that way if you doze off, you'll have the message. Everyone has a place in God's work. Everybody has a place in God's work. So let's look at it, Nehemiah chapter 3. We come in kind of late in the story of Israel in the Old Testament. Now, Nehemiah is tucked there before Job and before Psalms, but we come in pretty late in the time of Israel. Jerusalem has fallen on hard times. This is at the end of the Babylonian captivity. Many Jews have been transplanted to Babylon, and Daniel and his friends were among those taken. It's been a full 70 years that many of the Jews spent as conquered people growing up in Babylon. 70 years is a long time. Enough time for generations to grow up, never have lived in the Promised Land. And chapter 1 tells us the people who were left in the land were in great affliction and reproach. The city walls were broken down, the gates were burnt. 70 years after Jerusalem was overtaken, just as God prophesied through Isaiah, Cyrus, the king of Persia, allowed a group to return back to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel. The first return was in 536 BC with Zerubbabel. 20 years later, the temple had been rebuilt and dedicated. The second return with Ezra the priest came in 457 BC. And the third return is in 444 BC. Now, that's a lot of numbers. 92 years after the first return is when we come into the story of Nehemiah. In comparison, if today was the day Nehemiah came into town in Jerusalem, Jerusalem would have been captured by the Babylonians in 1862. And the first return would have happened in 1932. And then fast forward to today when Nehemiah is bringing a third group of Jews back to Jerusalem. It's been a long time since God's people have been living in God's land the way God intended them to be. It's been a long time since they've seen God's blessing and all those promises that God gives in the Old Testament about, if you'll serve me, I'll bring you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And I will defend you and you will live there in peace. It's been a long time since they've been living the way God had promised that they could. Now, Nehemiah, he has a heart to see God's work restored, to see God's work go forward. Now, his work back then was different than the work that we had to do today. He heard in chapter 1 when his brethren came back from Jerusalem, he heard that the people were in great affliction and reproach. And in verse 4, he sits down, he weeps, and he mourns, and he fasts, and he prays, God, can we do something about this? And he remembers a couple promises. God promised if the people rebelled, he would scatter them. And Nehemiah said, Lord, we've rebelled. Would you forgive us of our sin? And he claims a second promise. God, you promised if we repent, you'll bring us back to the land. Would you do that, Lord? And so he prays, and then he volunteers to go. He doesn't send just a couple, you know, he doesn't send a few ambassadors down there. He's right there with the king, and the king says, what's going on, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah says, I want to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. And the king says, go. And oh, by the way, here's a voucher for any wood that you need. You can get it from the royal forest, and any help that you need, I'll help you along the way. Nehemiah volunteered to go and do something about the problem. Today, there's a world of people who are separated from God. And the end of that path is the lake of fire. Here we see them living, trying to live life, looking for satisfaction, but not finding it. Because there is no satisfaction in life apart from Jesus. Only He can fill your soul and give you peace. When we see the world the way that Jesus sees it, our hearts are going to be affected. Like Nehemiah's heart was affected, our hearts will be affected. We'll pray. We'll volunteer ourselves to do something for God. Tonight, I want us to look through the third chapter of Nehemiah and see this truth. Everyone has a place in God's work. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 3 is one of those chapters you come to in your Bible reading program. And you look at all those names and you say, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not sure how to pronounce all this. And you say, I read this chapter last year. I'm just going to kind of skim through all those names, and I'll get down to some more exciting part of the story later. Are you like me? You get to those chapters of all those names, and you say, I know there's something good in here, and I know every word is inspired. Let's stop for a second and look at Nehemiah chapter 3. All it is names of people who worked on the wall and where they worked on this wall of Jerusalem. This chapter gives us the locations, the names, and it's kind of a summary of the work in chapter 3. Later chapters, we find different parts as it developed. The enemies came and they tried to attack and tried to stop the work from going on. This is kind of a summary of the work, chapter 3. Now, about 11 years ago, an archaeologist announced that she had uncovered what she thought to be part of Nehemiah's wall. They excavated part of the area there, and they found a wall that was about 5 meters thick. So 15 feet for my American friends. About 15 feet thick. Josephus, the historian, says that this wall, if you walked all the way around the city on it, it would be 4.5 miles of wall, 15 feet thick. Now, this was not built with excavators and cranes like we have today. This was a lot of manual labor. And people got together and they got some work done. 52 days they finished this job. The people rallied around the leadership of Nehemiah and found something that they could do. Now, the work that God had to do at that point was that the wall of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. Jerusalem was the place where God had chosen to set his name on planet Earth. He told David that, I've chosen to set my name on Mount Zion. That's where Solomon's temple was built. That's where I believe Isaac was almost offered on an altar, and God provided a ram. And that's the place where one day Christ would be offered outside the city on Calvary. The place where God really wanted to see his name to shine forth to the whole world. And those city walls were broken down. And Nehemiah said, Lord, this is no good. Your testimony is not what it should be here. I want your glory to be seen again. I want to see these city walls rebuilt. That was the work that needed to be done. Now, I think about this. Although God was able, he didn't rebuild it himself. God created it all. He could have just snapped his fingers and not even in a blink of an eye, the walls would be rebuilt. But he didn't. God could do the same today with the work that we're called to do. He could have angels announce it in the sky, and he will do some of that in the tribulation time. He could do a lot of other things, but he's chosen people who are willing and who will volunteer to serve him. Those are the people that he uses to do his work today. That's encouraging. I'm not Nehemiah, but I'm a person. You're not Nehemiah unless your name is Nehemiah. But God can use you in the part that he has for you. Everyone has a place in God's work. We find all sorts of people. We can identify with some of these folks. And I want to look through just not all of them. That's a lot of names. But I want to look at some of these folks tonight and see how we might identify with some of these other believers in God and see how God could use us today with the work that he has for us to do. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into the chapter. Father, thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. Thank you for the truth that you've put in our laps and that we have accessible to us. Thank you, Lord, that someone cared enough to get the gospel to me and to these folks. And I pray that you would bless our time as we look into this chapter, that you would stir in our hearts, show us areas in our lives where we could serve you, where we could do work for you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, that you would allow us to. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and inspire us to serve you more faithfully in the days ahead. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's jump right into chapter 3 and see the first group of people with whom we might identify. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. Even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it, unto the tower of Hananiel. Jump down to verse 28, would you? We'll be jumping around a little bit. Verse 28, from above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. The first group of people we find working on the wall are the temple priests. Those who are responsible for worship are the first in line to roll up their sleeves and move rock and clear debris and carry mortar and build a wall. As spiritual leaders, they understood others are watching. I'm going to set a good example. And I think about this. There was no spiritual snobbery in this group of priests. I think, well, you know, I have to worship God and I have to take care of important spiritual things. I don't have time to build a wall. But that was not their attitude. They said, what needs done? Well, a wall needs built right now. Well, we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to get involved. I think of the fact that the priests were leaders. They were setting an example. Fathers, husbands, Brother Donnie. In whatever area of life we have influence, we should be setting the example and saying, this is how we're going to serve God. We're going to jump right in. We're not going to say, I'm too good for that. Or I'm too busy taking care of the temple. The rest of you can do the work of hauling stone and stacking bricks and hauling gravel. When it comes to the work of God, sometimes we have a division in our mind. There's spiritual work. Pastor Donnie gets to come up here and preach. You know, our brother or sister plays the piano or comes and sings a special. They sing in choir. And yes, those are all things that we can do in service to God. But picking up a piece of trash on the floor, or greeting someone when they come in the door, or washing the dishes at home, we think, oh, that's just menial stuff. You know, that's just common labor. If a job is what God wants you to do today, that's the most spiritual thing that you could be doing. I think about washing the dishes at home. I like to eat, and eating creates dishes and work. I think about washing dishes at home. I do not believe God would have us to stack up dishes for 2 weeks and then run out of spoons next Thursday and we say, oh, now I got to wash the dishes because, you know, all the spoons are dirty. I don't have any more dishes to eat off of. I don't believe God would have it. Now, if you live that way, I'm sorry. I don't believe God would have us live that way where He would have us to take care of some things in our lives. And I think about, sometimes I think about my wife at home. You know, I've been an assistant pastor. I'm studying the Word of God. I'm preparing for youth activities and getting ready for church services. And she's at home taking care of my kids and washing dishes and vacuuming the floor. Who's doing God's work? I say, well, if that's what God wants her to do, if that's what God wants me to do, we're doing the Lord's work. And so sometimes we think only the pastor can serve God. Only a missionary can serve God. If God wants you to do it, serve the Lord, do it well, and do it as unto the Lord. And He'll see that, and He'll reward that. We could do well from learning from the initiative of these priests. They just jumped in. I notice in verse 28, it says that the priests repaired everyone over against his house. They thought, where should I start working on the wall? Well, how about closest to home? Right here. So where should we start serving God? Closest to home. You say, well, you know, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go to the other side of the world and serve God there. Well, let's serve God at home and let's let that ripple out. Let's serve God with those closest to us. Sometimes we come to church and it's like, hey, I can encourage a brother and I can be a blessing to other people in my church family. But then as soon as we get in the van to go home, that's just me, I guess. Let's serve those in our family. Let's serve those closest to us. Let's start at home. And then, yes, let's be a blessing to those outward. But let's start right where we're at and serve God. Everyone has a place in God's work. We should start closest to us. We should say, you know what? I'm going to find out what God wants me to do today, and I'm going to do it with all my diligence. I'm going to do it with my might. I'm going to do it as unto Him. This is the most important thing that I could be doing because it's what God wants me to do. That gives us some excitement about doing our menial chores. That gives us joy in things that otherwise would just be a grind. Because I get to serve God mowing the yard. I get to serve God helping people closest to me. The priests. All right, we need to move on. The second group. I see men from other cities working. In verse 2, next unto him builded the men of Jericho. In verse 7, you find halfway through the verse the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah working. Gibeon is a city about 5 miles away from Jerusalem, yet they came to help out. Mizpah is a city 10 miles away, and they sent men to help out. Jericho, we know that from the story of Joshua, fought the Battle of Jericho. Jericho's over 20 miles away from Jerusalem, and they came up to help out. From this group of folks, I learned this idea. There's no territorial attitude in God's work. One great blessing that I have right now, traveling full-time, is that we get to see God's work going on all over the place. A week and a half ago, we were in Florida, and we brought some of the weather for you to enjoy. And we're in Connecticut. We've been in Indiana, Tennessee, South Carolina. We've been kind of all over the East Coast of the U.S. And we get to see God's work going on all over. And it's so exciting. There's people I've never met before that are serving God. People say, do you know so-and-so? Do you know this person, this missionary, that pastor? Do you know these folks? And I say, no, but I'm glad. Like Elijah, there's 7,000 that you don't even know about, Elijah, that are still serving me. And I love to see that God's work is going on all over the place. Now, these men of Jericho, of Mizpah, of Gibeon, they realize Jerusalem's the place where God chose to set his name there. We're not going to sit back and say, well, then the Jerusalemites can build the wall themselves. We're going to take care of our own cities. They said, hey, can we get involved? Can we help out? We want to see God's work go forward in Jerusalem, even though it's not our hometown. That sounds almost like missions. Like, hey, I want to see something develop in other parts of the world that I can't go to and I'm never going to benefit tangibly from. I want to be a blessing and help out there. Boy, Pastor Doug's down in Peru right now. I don't know that I'll ever go to Peru, even though it's really close to Brazil. But you know what? It's exciting that he's down there and he's preaching and God's using him and others that are down there. There's a missions trip coming up, camp, right this summer. Going to go down there again. Isn't that exciting that we get to know somebody who gets to do that? And we get to say, hey, praise the Lord that God's doing something there in Peru. Missions is helping God's work go forward in other areas. And these folks saw what was going on in Jerusalem and said, can we be a part? We want to see God's work go forward. Number three, we'll move a little bit quicker. Verse five. Next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. The Tekoites, a group of people from the city of Tekoa. For whatever reason, the nobles of this group didn't really get involved. They didn't really get into the harness and pull their weight. Now, perhaps the nobles, they thought, well, I'm a noble. I don't have to work hard. You know, let the little people carry the rocks and move the dirt and clear the debris and stack the stones. Let them do the work and we're just going to sit back. Maybe they said we're just too good to serve God. And we can think that as well. We can think, hey, you know, my daughter, she's really smart. She could go far in, you know, business or as a nurse, or I really want her to do well in life, and so I'm going to really push her. But what about serving God? Sometimes as parents, we got to reevaluate what really matters in life when it comes to dealing with our kids and say, hey, I want my kids to do the very best they can. And I want to help them, but I want to make sure that serving God is right up there, that they have a heart to serve God. Not just, hey, I'm going to drive them to be too good to serve God. No, none of us are too good to serve the Almighty God. One day, every one of our knees are going to bow, and every one of our tongues are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe these nobles thought, well, we've never done work like this before. You know, we've just sat around and made decrees, and we've ruled the people, and we don't know how to do this kind of work. Sometimes God has us try something new. You know, everything we've done in life, we've learned, we've done for the first time. These nobles might have found out, hey, I kind of like this kind of work. You know, it's good to get out here and exercise and work out a little bit and get this wall built. I enjoy this. Sometimes we limit God by not ever trying something that's outside our comfort zone. And God would say, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to talk to this person. I want you to serve me in this way. You say, well, I ain't never done that before. Sorry, that's North Carolinian. Y'all want to understand that. I've never done this before, Lord. But God says, hey, that's what I want you to do. And the nobles, oh, I would hate to be a noble. Nehemiah's over there. The nobles didn't put their necks into the work. They didn't jump in and get involved. And now we have this thousands of years later. We're still reading about these guys. For whatever reason, they excuse themselves, and Nehemiah takes note and records their absence. The next group I would like to look at is the rulers. In verse 9, there's a whole bunch of them. Verse 9, it says, next unto them repaired Jedea, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashbaniah. That was verse 10 I just read. Excuse me, back up to verse 9. Next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Verse 12. Next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Helohash, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Verse 14, we find the ruler of part of Beth Hasarim. Verse 15, we find another ruler, the part of Mizpah. Verse 16, we find the ruler of the half part of Beth Zur. Verse 17, we find the ruler of the half part of Keilah. Verse 18, we find the ruler of the half part of Keilah. In verse 19, we find the ruler of Mizpah. A bunch of politicians getting together, working together. Now, there was the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, and then there was the ruler of the other half part of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how they did elections and how they did appointments and who got to choose who gets to be the ruler, but you have two guys that rule over half of Jerusalem each, kind of like a mayor, governor type, and they're working together to get the job done. And you find rulers from half parts of other cities that work together to get the job done. And they might have had their political differences. They might have had their different plans that they had in place. But they said, hey, we're going to work together. We're rulers. We're going to lead our people to work to get God's work done. In verse 12, I thought this was so cool. Shalom, the son of Helohash, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters are working together. I like that. I have three daughters. I want them to be involved in God's work. I want them to serve God. Women have a place in God's work. There are things, ladies, that some of you could do in a couple sentences in an afternoon that would take me a lifetime to try to accomplish. There are things that God has gifted ladies with that, I mean, do you want the guys decorating the auditorium? I don't know if you do that here, Brother Donnie, but do you want guys, you know, laying out and preparing the food and the different things that ladies are so gifted at? Now, I like to cook, and I've run a lot of activities at our church, but there's something that ladies can do. There's just a ladies' touch. Ladies, there's so much that God has for you to do in His work. It's not just, I understand, you know, pastors are supposed to be men. Husband of one wife, that's hard to do if you're a lady. All right? I understand there's a few things like that in the Scriptures, and we have to heed those. But ladies, there's so much that God has for you to do. And jump in and get involved. He and his daughters, I love that, how they're working together. Number five, there's a man who grew up in a spiritual family. His name was Meremoth. We find him in verse 4. We find him again in verse 21. In verse 21, it says, after him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, another piece. So in verse 4, he repairs one part of the wall. He comes back to Nehemiah and says, Nehemiah, I'm done. Anything else I can do? Now, if you've ever had anybody that has that you've been responsible for, you've been their boss, you've been their parent, don't you love it when they come back and they say, hey, I finished cleaning my room, Mom. Anything else I can do? Hey, I finished the project that you gave me. Anything else that I can do? Pastor, I did what you asked me to do. Is there anything else that I can do? That's Meremoth. Now, Meremoth, think of his history for a second. In verse 4, verse 21, both of them say that he's the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Koz was a priest. Meremoth's ancestors came back the very first chance that the Jews had to come back from Babylon with Zerubbabel, 92 years earlier. The first chance that they had, his ancestors were in that first group that came back to Jerusalem. We find that in the book of Ezra. We find Urijah, you find Koz as priests serving God. And I have this idea that Meremoth grew up in a spiritual family. A family that said, hey, when we get the chance to go back to the promised land, we're going to go. We're going to serve God. They came from a line of priests. And Meremoth continues on that line of saying, I want to serve God with what God's given for me. Young people, I think about this. Some of you grow up in homes where your parents love the Lord. They get you in church. I mean, you're here tonight, maybe the only reason because mom and dad expect you to be here. Young people who grow up in a good church, in a godly family, that can prepare you to serve God in a great way. Not just one part over here, but a lot of things that you could do. But we all must personally choose whether we're going to serve God with our life. It's not good enough that Koz served God. It's not good enough that Urijah served God. Meremoth said, I am going to serve God. It's not enough that they did it in their day. I'm going to do it in my day with what God has for me to do. And Meremoth throws himself into the work with willingness and energy. I know a lot of young people who grow up in Christian homes don't serve God when they get out of the house because they don't allow God to work personally in their heart. Young people, God is good. God is worthy to be served. It's not just God for old people. Serve God with your life. Say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to love God for myself. And then take that heritage that you have and run with it. Because Meremoth, he served in one place and then he said, hey, I finished. God blessed him with talent. Now he has another place to go. Number six, let's move on. In verse 5, we read about the Tekoites and the nobles. But if you look down in verse 27, it says, after them the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out even unto the wall of Ophel. This group from the town of Tekoa came to help. They're about 7 miles south of Jerusalem. Despite the fact that their nobles didn't get themselves into harness, didn't put their necks to the work, the people still said, we're going to jump in and get the work done. Not only that, but we're going to finish our job and we're going to go do another piece of work. From this, I come up with this principle. Some of us come from families where our parents didn't have much to do with God. Oh, we're not like Meremoth and we have, you know, an ancestry of priests. We're the first person that got saved in our family. My parents didn't serve God, or my parents were hypocrites, or my parents are... The Tekoites said, our nobles aren't really getting involved, but we're going to. Our leadership isn't doing what's right, but we're going to serve God. And we're not just going to do a little bit, we're really going to get involved. We're going to finish our job, we're going to go do another part. Don't allow pasts to determine our future, because God wants to work today. He wants to use you today. There's a place for everyone in the work of the Lord. I would like to notice that number 7, we see families working together. Shallum and his daughters are working together. In verse 3, there's a group of sons. The sons of Hassenah are working together to get the job done. It's a blessing to see families working together, isn't it? At our home church, there are several families who on occasion they'll sing together as a family. And it's so neat to see. Dad, mom, a couple of kids, teenagers, maybe a young person. I love to see a family ministering together. When a family comes into church or stays late and says, hey, we're going to fold up all the chairs. We're going to clean the room. We're going to get ready for the VBS day. And the family's just working together, getting the job done. I love to see men and ladies, men who lead their family and say, we're going to serve God together. Next, number eight. We see different groups, different occupations serving God. Now, I don't know who does what your job is. Many times we introduce ourselves. What do you do? Well, I'm a missionary. Maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you work in finance. Maybe you're an electrical engineer. I don't know what you do, but we find all kinds of people working together. In verse 8, we find Uzziel, the son of Harhaiah, of the goldsmiths. And then we also find the pharmacist in the same verse, of the apothecary. Down in verse 31 and 32, we find the goldsmith's son. We find the merchants. And we find the goldsmiths and the merchants in verse 32. There's people who are skilled. There are people who are talented. But these folks left their chosen occupation for a time to get God's work done. Now, some people in this church doubtless have special talents that God wants to use in His work. Say, hey, wow, I'm really good with numbers, and the Lord has me be the church treasurer. You know, I love to clean, and I clean the church. You know, and whatever it is, whatever area of expertise God has for you, yeah, get involved. But sometimes God says, hey, I want you to just, you know, stack up chairs and put them against the wall. I want you to be a warm body during VBS for crowd control with all the kids that come running in here. You say, well, I'm a banker. Well, these folks are merchants and they're goldsmiths and they're pharmacists, and they said, hey, we're going to move some rock, we're going to stack some stones, we're going to build a wall, because that's what needs done. See, everybody has a place in God's work. Lastly, I want to see Hanun and the people of Zenoa in verse 13. It says, the valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it, they set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. That's about 1,500 feet of wall that this one group of people built. I think it was recorded because that's impressive. They built 1,000 cubits, 15 feet thick of wall. From this, I think about the fact not everybody has the same ability. You know, I can imagine some of the other guys around the wall, they said, well, we have it hard over here. I mean, we're like chipping granite. And they just had a nice, easy, flat spot to build their wall. And we got to haul rock from miles away. And they have it right there. The quarry's right next to that part of the wall. And they have it so easy. We have it so hard. Don't we do that in church sometimes? We look at other people and we say, well, they have talents. Of course, they should be the ones doing it. You know, there's somebody who's really skilled at it. I'm not going to do it. Give them the opportunity to be a blessing. These folks, they're talented. Yeah, they got a lot of wall built. But hey, God equips people with different ability. The key is, am I using my ability to fulfill the opportunity God's given me? And not worry so much about others. So we've seen all this groups of people working on the wall. God has a job for us to do, and it's not to build a wall today. It's to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to keep all the commandments that Jesus has left us, to teach them the Word of God, to give the gospel out. That is the job that God has us here for. That's why He left us on earth. That's why church, that's not good English, but that's why we have church, that's why we meet together, is because God wants everyone to hear the gospel. And God has a role for each one of us. Romans chapter 12 gives us some of the roles in the church. Preaching, He has the gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging or giving or mercy, administration, helping the hurting. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members of one another. Every one of us is part of, well, I'm kind of just an extension. I'm just here. But every one of you are part of the body of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. If you're a member here, you're part of this body. God's put you here to do a certain function, to be a part of this church. A couple observations that would apply to our part in doing God's work today, and then we'll be done. First, let's be united in our goal. Let's work together in what God wants to see done. Now, the overarching goal is preaching the gospel to every creature, right? Well, how does teaching kindergarten and Christian school preach the gospel to every creature? Well, I'll tell you what, Mrs. Meter. My daughter got saved in November. She's right in that age bracket, 4 years old. They're heathens down in nursery. That's a mission field. And ladies, serving God in nursery, maybe one day you'll have the opportunity to win one of them to the Lord. Let's be united in our goal. You say, well, I'm serving in nursery. You know, it's the second time this month. I understand by osmosis about nursery. You know, we're working together for a goal. You know, Pastor Donnie's up here, he's preaching. If all the kids are competing in the front row, it's not gonna be the same, will it? But that's something that's part of the whole. So let's be united in our goal. These people had a common goal, get the wall built. Can you imagine one group of folks saying, hey, we're going to build the wall this way, you know, 100 cubits, and then we're going to take a 90-degree turn and come along the rock face that, you know, goes down into the valley of Hinnom. We're going to take a turn and then build the wall this way. And then the group over here said, no, we're just going to come straight from here, from point A straight to point B. And one group says, well, we're going to work this way. And the other group says, well, we're going to build the wall this way. Well, that's not going to work for a wall, is it? It needs to come together. 28 times in this chapter, you find this phrase, after him, after them, next to him, next unto them. 28 times you find these folks working side by side, working together with the common goal. I imagine sometimes they argued about which stone they were going to put next on the wall. When they got their parts to join together, I imagine they thought at night, and the foreman on the job thought, hey, you know, we got to work this out, how we're going to get our walls to fit together. But you know what? They said, we're going to make it work because we have a common goal. We're going to be united in our goal. Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When each one of us are walking in the Spirit, He keeps unity and He keeps the peace, and we realize that our differences, sure, there's differences, the color of the carpet, what kind of food we're going to have, there are differences. But let's keep the goal in mind and say, you know what, I'm going to set aside some of my preferences and work together for the goal. So first, I would like us to think, let's be united in our goal. Second, let's be content in our role. Content in our role. I imagine there were some folks that were just, they just carried buckets of water around and refreshed all the workers. I imagine that there were some ladies who were some really good cooks. And they were making food to feed all these guys had to eat. I imagine that there were some that were pushing wheelbarrows and some that were stacking stones and putting mortar on. And there were some, like up with Nehemiah, that were drawing out which way the wall was going to go. And everybody had a role. Now, in our church, in this church, everyone has a role. You know, not everybody sings in choir, although I think that's wonderful. I was a choir director for 5 years. Half the church was in the choir, and I was trying to get the other half up there. But not everybody plays the piano. Not everybody stands at the door and greets people coming in. Not everybody preaches the message, not everybody teaches Sunday school, but everybody has a part. Let's be content with our role. Sometimes we look at others and we say, they have the easy job. Pastor Donnie just has to get up here and talk for 47 minutes. Am I over time, brother? Okay, all right. Sometimes we look at others and we say, oh, why do I have to do this and they get to do that? Well, if it's what God puts you in that role for, let's be content with it. You know, we could be grumbling about everybody else, but let's say, you know what? God's giving me this. I'm going to do this with all my heart, as unto the Lord. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The only discontentment I find in the New Testament, the only discontentment Paul had is he wanted other people to be saved that weren't saved, and he wanted to be with the Lord. And everything else, he chose to be content. That's a lot coming from the Apostle Paul and all the things that he suffered. He was in prison. He was fine with being in prison and writing half of our New Testament to be an example to others. He was fine with that. He was content with that. If that's what God wanted him to do. Yeah, I'll be in this prison, and I'll write Galatians, I'll write Ephesians, I'll write Philippians, I'll write 1 Timothy, I'll write 2 Timothy. Paul was content to do what God wanted him to do. Let's be content in our roles. Lastly, let's be faithful as a whole. Let's be faithful. The men and women that worked on this wall were faithful. There's a point in this where it says Nehemiah and his gang that were working together closely with him, they didn't even stop to like change their clothes, take a bath, go home, you know, take a day off. They didn't stop. Once the work got going, they kept on going. There came a part where they had to start taking turns. Some of them would be using the mortar trowel, and some of them be holding a spear or a sword, waiting for the enemies just in case they came to attack. They said, hey, this job needs faithfulness. This job needs dedication. We're going to get the job done. So let's be faithful as a whole. Who's going to do our job if we neglect to do it? You know, when you woke up this morning, you didn't wake up and say, oh, do I got my pinky? Okay, there it is. Got all my fingers? Yep, there they are. All right, is my knee going to come with me today? All right, now maybe some of us, we put our teeth in and, you know, I feel like I need to make sure I got my brain with me. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh, I forgot my brain at home. Let me go get that. We don't do inventory. Why? Because our body members come with us. But that's not how it always is in church. Sometimes the church gets together and there's an arm missing. There's an ear missing. There's something missing, and the church body doesn't function 100% because one of us are not in our place doing what God's created us to do. One of us is, we're distracted. We're thinking about something else. We're not serving the way God wants us to. So let's be faithful as a whole. Say, God, I have a little part. It seems so small, but I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be content in it. I'm going to be there, and little as much when God is in it. Everybody has a place in God's work. For the last 5.5 years, the Lord had my family and I serving in Shelby, North Carolina. Now He's commanded us to pack our bags and go to Brazil, and we're getting ready to go. We can't do the work of God here in Connecticut, nor can you do the work in Brazil. But let's be content with where God's put us. Let's be faithful. Let's be united around that goal. Hey, God wants to see everyone reached with the gospel. Let's preach it to everybody. You do it here, we'll do it there. And we'll see what God does. There's a great work that the Lord's doing, and every one of us has a place in it. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to preach this evening. Folks, thank you so much for allowing us to come. I love the story of Nehemiah, and I want you to go home thinking, I have a place in God's work. I'm going to be content with my role. I'm going to be united around the goal, and I'm going to be faithful as a whole. Let's pray, Pastor. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach this evening, and I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts now as we have the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.